Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, who's got your back? Oh. Sometimes it feels that no one has your back. I'll bet. Sometimes I feel that way, too. But there are answers to that that we're going to have in this show to know who's got your back. And also, I've done many shows about how serendipity works in our lives. And we love that, watching the magic work. But how can we influence serendipity to work even better for us? And we're going to learn about that also in this show. So to help us do all that is the author of a book called The Path to Wealth. Now, that sounds good. 7 Spiritual Steps for Financial Abundance. That sounds good. Maybe we can have other kinds of abundance, too. So to help us understand all of that and to know more about her book is the author, Mae McCarthy. Mae, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you, Peter. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, I'm so glad to talk with you because your book is really inspiring. I really enjoyed it. You're doing a great job of understanding who's got our back. And obviously, people or spirits or whatever, let's call it the CSO, we're going to get into that, has your back. Can
well,
you tell
not
us
only
about
does the
that?
CSO have a back, have our back, it actually will create the path for us.
Oh, okay. Well, I like to think of it as having our back also because it knows better. It knows so much more than we know.
Truly.
And so it knows the front and the back. So you've been very successful in your life, in business, and have wanted to write this book to help the rest of us become successful. And there are 7 steps. And how did you come about these steps?
Well, I have been practicing metaphysical spiritual practices for, oh gosh, since 1981. And I found that they helped me achieve all of the goals that I had really easily. And the key was to make sure that I was clear about the goals that I had and to take direction from this all-knowing, powerful intelligence in the universe to guide and direct me along paths that it creates for me to achieve my goals. And it's really uncanny the directions that I get led on. So I was asked to teach it, and it turned into a book.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. And it's really a wonderful book. I really have to recommend it to the audience because there's so much in it that's inspiring and helpful. There are tools. Now, one of the main sources of power that you find is gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about gratitude all day long, but we need to use it. And you have ways of using it that are really wonderful. Can you talk about your letters?
I can. Well, that's the second step in the process, which is to write a gratitude letter to your idea of this source of infinite intelligence or all-knowing power of the universe, which I affectionately call the Chief Spiritual Officer, or CSO. So you write out this gratitude letter that states statements that you're grateful for what you have, you know, great family, friends, work, things like that. And then you're grateful for what you want, but you word it as though you already achieved it. And this is important because your subconscious and this spiritual intelligence will try to show you more opportunities to make those statements true. So when you're writing out your gratitude letter, you're using word structures that describe what you want as though you've already received it.
Well, you have a sample gratitude letter in your book that I find is wonderful. For you.
Right.
I can't repeat it verbatim because it really isn't exactly the way I would say it for myself, but very close, so that my plan is to type one out and use it as a guide, a template, but with my own words in the way that you wrote it. But it's a great guide in your book to how to do this.
Right. It's really important that you use words that resonate with you. And, of course, you'll want to use your own goals. Your goals might be different than mine. In fact, today my goals are completely different than that example letter, simply because I already sold that business.
Oh, okay. Well, you've sold a number of businesses. And you're in the author business right now.
I'm in the author speaker business, for sure.
Right. And so that's the second step, and we'll come back to that also, because I think understanding how to work with gratitude is really important. What's the first step?
The first step is to read something for 5 minutes to put you into a receptive mood. And I find that choosing books that have very, very short stories about ordinary people having extraordinary experiences with the influence of this all-knowing, powerful, intelligent guide that knows everything in the universe, those kinds of stories are great. And at the back of the book, I do list an example of some books that work perfectly for this, but really short stories about ordinary people having extraordinary experiences. That puts your mind in a receptive mood.
That's great. Actually, going beyond that, I think we need to live that way every day by being around inspiration, by being with people who pull us up. I notice that it's often that when I'm around people who are really down and out, or have no joy or humor or excitement in their lives, that it's really difficult to feel my own excitement. I have to get away from them to do that.
Right. And one of the nice things about doing this daily practice, it takes about 25 to 30 minutes every morning, and it helps you to focus more on what you want. And this wonderful universe that we live in that is infinitely abundant. And as we do that, we don't seem to notice those people that are dragging us down as much, because we've intentionally made a commitment to be for the things that we want and to be looking for those possibilities. So our mind and our spirit sort of doesn't notice those people that try and drag us down as much.
Or maybe the CSO will nudge them out of the way anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's billions of pieces of data that come at us every day. And so this mind of ours and this spirit of ours somehow filters everything that's being sent at us. And my purpose is to help people to focus more on what they want, so that everything within them will filter out things that they don't want. And people dragging you down, I certainly don't want to be around people like that as much. Even though I have to, I don't notice the dragging down because I'm intentional about focusing on possibilities for what I want. And this practice in the book helps people to do that.
No, I agree, and we help actually bring those people up.
Yeah, we do. We're contagious.
But I also am thinking of having an environment or a sacred space in our lives and living in an environment that feels good. Mm-hmm. There's a system I work with called the Human Design System, which explains the mechanics of our personalities that we're born into. And one of the understandings in it is that many of us are designed to need to be in spaces that we're happy with. And if we're not in spaces we're happy with, there'll be misfortunes that can occur because there's just an energy that doesn't work for us there.
Mm. Well, and we also will live lives that are in accordance with what we're putting our attention on. So if we walk into a place or walk into an office or something that just doesn't feel good, as you said, doesn't make us happy, then we're going to focus on this unhappiness. And it's my belief, in having experimented with this, that I get more of what I put my attention on, good or bad.
Right. I'm not even saying that it commandeers your attention so much as you just might not feel good, and then you try to make the best of it and think positively and all that. But if the environment isn't really supportive, it's an effort that it can interfere with your other vibrations.
Mm.
So it's the idea, I think, is just to be more in charge of the positive environment that we...
Absolutely.
Just like picking up an inspirational book in the morning first thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then we have one, and two is to write the gratefulness letter.
Mm-hmm.
What is three?
Okay, so we've read something to put us in a receptive mood. That's taken about 5 minutes. We've written out our gratitude letter to our spiritual partner that includes what we're grateful for, and then what we're grateful for that we want as though we've already have it. And that'll take up to 10 minutes. The third step is to read that letter out loud with emotion. Read it out loud so you can hear what you've written, and that enables you to correct some things if you've written something that's really not what you want. For instance, I've had some workshop attendees that have said that their goal is to lose 10 pounds. They want to lose 10 pounds. We hear that all the time. But let's think about that for a minute. If the goal is to be wanting to lose 10 pounds, then really you have to be 10 pounds overweight in order to make that statement true. So a better goal would be, I'm so grateful that I am physically fit, trim, toned, energetic, healthy, and strong, and that I feel that I'm easily able to move in a pain-free body when I hike and walk and run with my friends. We have a great time together.
So we want our goals to represent what we want in life rather than what we don't want.
Exactly. And so reading it out loud, reading your gratitude letter out loud, will help anchor it more fully in your subconscious, but it'll also enable you to hear if you've created a goal that is not consistent with what the end result is. And the end result is to feel healthy and strong and physically fit and trim and
right,
whole and complete, not to be wanting to lose 10 pounds. So you read it out loud with emotion, and that'll take about 5 minutes. That's what the third step
yeah.
is.
No, I think that third step is really important in so many ways of just how we address life.
Yeah.
And to address it more from opportunity in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. Our language is so important.
It really is. And so many of us have learned phrases and ways of speaking from our environment. I have one man that I know that his grandfather and his father used to say a phrase, I'll be damned, I'll be damned.
Oh, great.
He used to say that just, you know, you've heard that before, I'll be damned. I didn't know that. Well, he didn't realize that what he was essentially doing was damning himself.
Right.
So he changed that to, I'll be blessed.
Yeah, that's good. I love that, actually. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the third step, is to speak it emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the fourth step?
And the fourth step is to use a technique that Olympic and professional athletes, professional musicians, and really successful business people have used for years and years and years, and that's to sit quietly for 5 minutes with your eyes closed and see yourself in that completed goal, in that realized goal. See what you feel like, what the environment looks like. See who you're with. See as much detail as you possibly can about that realized goal in your mind's eye. many professional athletes will see themselves actually completing the game and winning the game or the match in their mind before they ever go out to compete. They actually set aside time every day for mental training. And consequently, they're quite successful. And you right. being an athlete, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
so
and
spend
I've
about
5 minutes
seeing yourself. Yeah.
Right, and when I coach runners who are running marathons or any race, it's about picturing themselves successfully crossing the finish line.
Exactly. Well, you can use this for business, for life, for relationships. You can use this technique for any goal that you have.
Right. You can picture your banker calling you and telling you that they want more of your business because you're so successful.
Yeah, right. Or you can see yourself jumping up and down with joy because you've paid all your bills and you have lots of money left over for a really special trip or a occasion to spend with your family and your friends.
Oh, I love that. It's really about picturing happiness in many ways. That
yeah.
maybe this is something to explore a lot in our lives, is to see how much we can fantasize about our future in detail.
Mm-hmm. And what that does is it helps set up your tone for the day. When you do those four steps, you've spent about 25 to 30 minutes in the morning. And then when you go off through the day, your subconscious and this spiritual source of intelligence or source of intuition starts to bring to your attention these opportunities to take steps along the path to your wealth. And wealth is not just money. Wealth is being whole and complete and lacking nothing in any area of your life.
That's great. So what's step five?
So step five is you're out in the day and you're expecting and watching for these messages. I call them leads, but others call them intuitive hits or signs or maybe a gut instinct or a flash of somebody's face in your mind's eye or a really strong thought about something that indicates to you that you should take a step along this path that your spiritual partner is creating for you. So your job is to figure out what you want and be grateful for it in advance. Your spiritual partner's job, or the CSO's job, is to create the path for you to get there and give you one step to take at a time. You either take the step or you ask for another lead. Eventually, you get the lead, you take the step, and you're on your way to achieving your goal. So you expect and watch for leads. And great brain research has been done out of Cambridge University that shows that when we have positive expectations, our brain is able to focus more clearly and see more possibilities to achieving our goals. So
that's great.
Expecting and watching for leads.
And I guess it's about tuning yourself to how these leads feel and how this intuition or instinct works so that you mm-hmm. can learn to trust it better.
Right. I have a woman that I know who had decided in her early 50s, she didn't have a retirement plan. And so she had decided that her goal is a completed and wonderful working retirement plan for her life that would easily take care of her when she decided to retire. So she was writing that down and following the four steps and going out to her day, expecting and watching for leads. And she got this very strong thought of a woman she hadn't talked to in a very long time. And she thought, whoa, wonder why I'm thinking of her. So she knew that what that meant was she had to take a step. So she tracked this woman down and contacted her. And during this conversation, she mentions, I don't know why I'm calling you. I had a strong thought of you, and I'm in this new practice that says I have to follow my leads, so I'm calling you. And they have this wonderful conversation, and the topic of retirement plan comes up. Well, my friend said that this woman had just started this financial group with other very successful financial leaders that were all women in her community and wanted to know if she wanted to come and be part of that. So she joined the group, made new friends that were absolutely brilliant, who gave her tons of free advice on how to set up her retirement plan and didn't charge her anything.
That's
so
wonderful.
So she was able to get advice that would have cost her thousands of dollars for free.
So let's all get that kind of result from our plans and our desires that we create gratitude about ahead of time.
Well, right? I'm so sorry. You were breaking up a little bit. I'm not sure
okay.
if it's my end or your end.
All right.
Now I can hear you.
The idea is that we, from the early step where we create gratitude, we're creating gratitude to already be successful.
Right.
And so then we see it happen, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, so that fifth step of expecting and watching for leads is you pay attention to your body, which has intelligence. You pay attention to, you know, what other people are saying. You know, maybe somebody walks by and has just the message for you that is consistent with one of your goals. So you take the step. You take the step, or you ask for another lead. And then the next step after that is when you do get a lead and you take a step, you celebrate. Because celebrate invokes that fun and joyful emotion that we love to experience. And consequently, as we continue to celebrate, we end up wanting to celebrate more. So we get more in tune with this idea of taking the steps that we're led to take without fear. So you celebrate, and then you write down a little note that says what step you took and how it worked out for you.
That's great. And yet we don't always know because the CSO is in charge. Hello?
I don't know who
There's
that is.
There's something interfering with our line.
I'm on a landline, so is that on your end or mine?
We're both on landlines.
Okay.
That was strange, that interference.
Hmm.
So,
sorry about that.
Might be something from the studio. So now I have a question, is that I've been successful all my life, and I'm an old-timer. I'm in my 70s, and every year I've won the game every year, and I always worry.
You always worry?
If you took a picture anywhere along the line and you'd say, how you doing? I'd say, oh, it's been great so far. But tomorrow, I mean, I have a fear of the future. Tomorrow, I just don't know. And I'm taken care of, and my CSO has done a great job for me. And yet, I still have this. It's part of my human design, is to have fear of the future, and it's annoying. You know, my wife says it's amazing how successful you've been when you worry so much. So, I do my best to work with all kinds of anti-worry tools and keep myself going straightforward, and it's always worked. So it's really about, you know, keep working on these tools that you're offering and keep using everything you can to keep a positive, keep your head on straight.
Yeah, I know what you mean about that anxiety and worry that pops up sometimes without any warning.
Right.
And what I advise readers of my book and attendees of the workshops to do is to use their words to overpower those fearful thoughts. Because you can't speak out loud and think something contrary at exactly the same time. It's impossible. Try it. It just doesn't work. The spoken word will always win out. And what I have them do is write down some affirmative statements on maybe post-it notes or business card-sized pieces of paper, and they put them everywhere and arm themselves with these affirmative statements to overpower those fearful thoughts. Because those fearful thoughts, in sales, we call fear false evidence appearing real.
Right.
And that false evidence appearing real can, in fact, become a focus of our attention and essentially light us up to attract that which we fear into our life. So we have to overpower it and annihilate it. And the way we do that is with a spoken word of something contrary, something that we want, something that's positive, something that's in tune with our goal. And eventually saying it over and over and over again does overpower that fear and calm us down.
Right. That's why I think your book is so powerful, because it offers all these tools. And I guess the whole idea is to understand that we do have this higher power at work that you call the chief spiritual officer. I call it my guides. Mm-hmm. I did a show recently with a woman who called it her team. And if we really surrender to the support of who's got our back out there, yeah, then we can really let go and allow them to do their job.
Right. And I know when people are just starting to do this practice, you know, because it's unfamiliar, you know, it's kind of hard to do. They might keep a copy of the meeting agenda or the seven steps that are close by to where they hold that 25 to 30 minute meeting in the morning until they get used to it. And one of the points that I make to them, just so that they can realize that they will create this really strong relationship with the CSO or their guide or their team, whatever they decide to call it, is just fine. But the way that works is by building, you know, some trust and relationship. And the way you have to do that is to spend time together. And the example I give often is, have you ever heard the phone ring and know before you answer who it is? And most everybody I ask that question to says that they've experienced that at one time or another.
Well, we're getting near the end of the show. I hear some music in the background. So, Mae McCarthy, it's so wonderful talking with you about The Path to Wealth, your book, The Path to Wealth. Is there a website?
There is. It's maymccarthy.com. That's maymccarthy.com.
That's wonderful. Mae, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you very much, Peter. Have a great day.
You too. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. Thank you so much for listening.